Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. And a reminder to all of you who are right there on the fence waiting to jump on our site and register for Pursuit 2014 in August, it is time to do so. I know that most of you are entering summer right now. The weather has improved, which is amazing, and you are making plans for what in the world you are going to do. In fact, you have had several months to talk your friends into joining you for Pursuit. So now is the time. It's been fun. We've actually seen a few little groupings from various places sign up, you know, together, which is fun. But I'm also super impressed with how many of you are choosing to just come on your own. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to come out to Colorado. I'm going to meet people. I feel like some people through Boundless, I already kind of know, whether from the blog or whatever. And let's just be honest, Martha Anthony and I, you know us, okay? You have heard from us. You have seen us here in the Boundless sphere. So please plan on coming and say hello to us because we will be your friend here at the conference until you meet other friends and then you totally ditch us like yesterday's news, and we'll forgive you for that. So anyway, I also want to highlight, you know, I'm highlighting one of our speakers each week, and this week I want to talk about Emerson and Joy Eggerich. Emerson Eggerich, author of Love and Respect, huge, huge marriage book that's been around for a while now. It's actually a book that my mom said she wished she had read before my dad died. She feels like it would have transformed their marriage, and she has a huge regret in that. Many things that she learned after the fact, and so it's not too late for you to read it and get excited about what Emerson's going to share. For those of you that don't know Joy, if you don't follow her on Twitter, you should. She is hilarious. She also did a little video for us introducing herself for the conference. She is single, the daughter of Emerson Eggerich, and also leading Love and Respect Now, which is kind of the love and respect for the younger generation, including those of us who are single. And so the two of them are going to give a fresh look at male-female relationships, how to understand one another, how to communicate with one another, how to deal with conflict. And they're just going to be fun. So you want to make sure that you catch them, an opportunity to see them in person here at Pursuit 2014. So make sure you go to boundless.org/pursuit, get registered, get planning your travel. You can do it. You can make it happen. Have it be a fun time out here in Colorado. We get like 369 days of sun a year, I think. So that is super. It's very sunny here, so that's excellent. All right, well now, the other thing that I want to let you know, just a short little announcement, is you may have seen on our site or beyond, we're actually doing a survey. We need you to give us some info based on or leading up to a project that we're considering doing, which I'm not going to tell you about right yet, secret, but it does not have to do with burgers or with aardvarks or with mittens. It does not have to do with those three things. It's something else, but you want to go to this week's show post on the blog and click on the link and take the survey. It will take you like 5 minutes. It includes a little video clip. We need your feedback. We need to hear from this audience about this. And so you're going to see just a few questions there. Just do it right now while you're listening. Please jump over there. Get it done. It's a little survey on the blog post for this week's show. Okay, now on to the show, actually. Later on, we have one of our counselors, Jeremy Keaton, we love him, here to answer a question from a guy who is wondering how, because women are less physically wired than men, how can he display affection or care towards the women in his life that aren't physical in nature? So that Jeremy, bless his heart, is going to have to address that. And hopefully he will do it in an appropriate fashion. We will see what kind of advice he has to give. Later on for our culture segment, you know he's been on the show before, Dr. Les Parrott. He and his wife, Leslie, have written a number of books on marriage. They're also kind of research and survey experts in this realm. But they just wrote a book called Making Happy. And you know that we've been doing a series in our culture segment on marriage, obviously, with the Kellers, and we talked to Shanti Feldhahn. So this is the last in our series, and Les is actually going to talk about what they have found as far as ways that you can really boost the happiness in your relationship. And what I thought was cool was this can apply to people who aren't even in like dating relationships. There are just great things that you can do to really generate and sustain happiness in relationships with the people that are around you in general. So great stuff there. And here we are in our roundtable segment. I have got Anthony here. Hey, Anthony.
Hey.
Hey. I also have Austin back. Austin, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And we decided to let Austin's wife in this time, Macy. Good to see you, Macy.
Good to see you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very fun. So we're actually going to learn probably some really awesome stuff about Austin here. We figure we're going to open the floodgates, and this is going to be the real deal because he's been able to kind of manage what he said in the past, but that era is over for sure.
Not good.
As we talk about, this is interesting because we get a lot of questions about this. In fact, I want to reference one that we got from one of our listeners on the idea of, some call it like spiritual leadership, some say spiritual compatibility. But basically, this woman is saying that she grew up in a culture where she learned all the Bible stories. She's been in Christian ministry. She's completed courses in Bible college. Well, now she started dating a guy who loves God, but has not had the same blessings and privileges that I have had in learning godly principles. But he has a great practical heart for God. So she's saying, you know, sometimes she feels like she's discipling him on deficient knowledge of the word. Should she hold out for him, wait for him to mature more, or does she need to move on to someone who compliments her and what she knows and does more so? So we're going to open up that conversation and use our wonderful panelists as examples here as they talk about the nitty-gritty, because all of y'all are married. So you made it to marriage. Somehow you found someone that we're hoping is growing in spiritual knowledge. So the first thing I want us to talk about and have you guys weigh in on is what, when we talk about spiritual heritage, what do you feel that you guys each individually inherited? Like what did you bring to the table by the time you made it to marriage? And then we're going to talk about a little bit what how that played into expectations. But what was your spiritual heritage, just in a nutshell, and did that differ from your spouse's?
Yeah, my heritage is pretty awesome. It's one of the things I'm most grateful for from my parents. And I would say they passed on to me like deep belief and the idea that my faith and the rest of my life are not separate, so that, you know, all domains of my life come under the umbrella of faith. And I would say my parents have a deeply kind of spiritual perspective of all of life. And they also instilled in me a great appreciation for the word. Christina, my wife, her heritage, the things that I see kind of being passed on to her the most were kind of faithfulness and consistency. So just being like reliable and faithful for long periods of time. I think for us, those kind of complementing gifts have come together quite well.
Cool. How about you, Austin?
I didn't realize we had a different heritage until we were married. I think I have a very practical, I grew up in a family where I trusted in God and we went to church, but there wasn't a lot of individual study within my family. It's kind of, you learn everything from church and small groups and Bible studies, and very good at times in certain situations just trusting God. I think Macy's more...
Yeah. I was going to say, my mom was really great at, like, every day in the Word, and so seeing that example a lot has influenced me a lot to just, like, every year I read through the Bible and just really just read the Bible, and I think... kind of the opposite of Austin in a way. I feel like he kind of like...
She reads more in a year than I read in 5 or 10 years.
Any book, really.
Any book, yeah. All my reading combined.
Okay.
So yeah, very different.
Okay, so it's interesting because I often, you know, anyone who's heard me speak or even heard read some of the things that I write, I talk a lot about how women tend to come in with expectations. And one of the downfalls of Christian women now is we have these expectations because of all these outliers. So we have women that are like, I want to marry a pastor. I want to marry someone who pretty much looks like Andy Stanley or John Piper or whatever. And he's got to be amazing and he's got to be whatever. But to the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, I can see also that, you know, and there, that's an unfair expectation of men. But at the same time, I also see in churches and singles groups and elsewhere, the women have been put in a position of taking over because the guys have stepped back and aren't leading Bible studies, aren't leading small groups, aren't sharing actively or verbally or whatever women expect their faith or living that out in a way that's expected. And so I think it brings up a lot of confusion. What would you guys say prior to being married, what were your expectations of what your spouse or what the person you were going to date should have? What should that look like as far as spiritually, you know, what were you looking for to assure yourself this person is solid and loves Jesus?
I think I always expected like a guy to be more than anything that I did, which is ridiculous because if I'm not doing it, why should I put that expectation on someone else? Mm-hmm. But I think...
And if you're reading through the Bible like six times a year, Macy, how could you even do that?
You're already setting the bar.
You're setting the bar pretty high.
But I think something that, with those expectations, that always gave me peace was praying for, even before I was dating, praying for a future spouse in that not only knowledge to know who he was, but that he would be growing closer to God. And so I guess when the time came when I knew Austin was the one, it was kind of that piece of like, well,
at least he's growing, he's working on it.
Yeah, just knowing that like I've been praying for him for all these years and continuing in that prayer. And so I don't know, just watching those expectations, I guess, and knowing that God's in control of those.
Mm-hmm. So what was it about Austin that finally made you say, okay, I can hitch my wagon to this guy? Like, because he's a quiet guy. I mean, he's not someone that's going to be like Billy Sunday out there like preaching on street corners. So, I mean, I would be kind of like, Austin, are you just like saying this to try to win me over because I'm hot and you want to marry me? I mean, I think that could be a concern.
Yeah. We both prayed about it a lot and knowing that, he was going to God about our relationship and praying about it gave me peace. And I was doing that individually as well. And so just that we both kind of came to that point together, but separately at the same time, I think that kind of the peace of knowing that God was over it.
Okay, Austin, how about your expectations?
Not that I didn't have expectations. I did. I think I had the expectation that I would find someone that was a little more disciplined than I am. That it almost kind of encouraged me to be reading the Bible more often and get involved a little bit more. So, you know, finding someone that read through the Bible 10 times
I see how
a
this
year.
Is quickly growing. I said once, Lisa said six, now it's 10.
Once a year. I was attracted to that, and I thought, it did. I mean, when we started dating, it encouraged me to read a little bit more, or just in assuming the role of spiritual leader at times, just made me realize that I need to be more disciplined myself if I'm going to be leading our family when we were married, leading us spiritually. I'm going to have to get more involved myself.
Mm-hmm. My expectations were pretty simple. I just basically wanted someone who had signs of life, like signs of relationship with Jesus and of owning their faith versus just kind of coasting or being stagnant. And I found that in Christina. I found more than that, actually, and something I'm grateful for at this point in terms of leadership and initiative and stuff like that. I'm grateful that we are compatible and that we both like to initiate a lot and lead a lot. And so we're always planning, you know, worship nights or gatherings and stuff like that. And honestly, if it was just me who was interested in that and not Christina, I'd be less happy with that. And so it's cool that we're both kind of equally interested in organizing events or gatherings and whatnot. So sometimes we think of it as like one person leading and one person being passive, but mm-hmm. I'm grateful that neither of us are passive. Mm-hmm. Also, in our family, I'm happy to have that title of kind of the spiritual leader of my family or whatever, but we both do a lot of leading in our family. There are times when I'm just busy or forgetful, and she kind of reminds me, like, hey, we're going to, you know, do this thing with our family, and I bust out the guitar and we have worship time or whatever. So I'm grateful that she kind of reminds me, and that she's there to also lead in a way, which is not to kind of like abdicate my own responsibilities, but it's nice not to have a passive party in that part mm-hmm. of our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously you've seen that more and more in marriage, though. But I remember you were telling me kind of that you had been dating a girl that you realized was not, there was just nothing there as far as an interest or initiation in the word, and then talk a little bit about that, and then what it was that you actually saw in Christina that kind of gave you confirmation.
Yeah, totally. So going back to that, those signs of life, signs of like active relationship, this girl I was dating, she's a fantastic person, but whenever I tried to talk about things of a spiritual nature or scripture or theology or anything, her eyes kind of glazed over. She just got antsy and bored. And fair enough, you know, but
it's like me talking about sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If someone talks about sports to me, I'm that way. So yeah, so there was no compatibility there. I, like, even in just a few weeks of dating, I was already frustrated, and rather than kind of hoping that upon getting married that would change, I assumed it wouldn't, which is not to kind of, you know, condemn her to a life of not growing, but mm-hmm. you know, it's better to have things work out before you get married. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I broke up with her primarily for that reason. She was fun, super attractive. Everything else was cool except for that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, I mean, the contrast there, I guess, would be not that the problem with her, for me, wasn't that, you know, she wasn't some, you know, superstar Bible study leader. It was just there were no signs of life there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, simple mm-hmm. as that.
Okay. Okay. And then with Christina, you actually saw that. I think you mentioned something about her praying and kind of just seeing that. Even though it was on a road trip, let's not even get into that, but okay. He went with a group.
Yeah, it was a co-ed group road trip.
Singles road trips.
Yeah. Don't worry, it was all above board. But yeah, I always say that, like, I was super attracted to her for a long time and interested, but I wasn't super sure about just how grounded she was in her faith. So on this road trip, we had kind of our own kind of small church service, so to speak, out on the road, and just I heard her pray, and it was a very, like, deep. It basically, just in that prayer, I realized this girl has an active faith. She has a relationship with Jesus that's like alive, mm-hmm. and hmm. that was it for me. Yeah.
Okay,
I think that's really important, like when you're dating, to pray together and allow a somewhat a spiritual intimacy there, because your spiritual relationship with God is an intimate relationship, but letting someone else kind of join in that with you as you're dating, I think, is really important. So that, you know where each other are, you know where those, where you lay theologically, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think I would really encourage people to take that step, even if it's kind of awkward at first when you're like, oh, let's pray together.
Super awkward. I think the first couple times we prayed together, and it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like praying for the first time.
Like, maybe yeah. for more reserved people like ourselves, it
yeah.
takes a little bit more to
well,
step
and
up.
It's yeah. interesting, because we've talked at Boundless before how you also have to be careful about that, because
right.
some people jump way in and all of a sudden they're like each other's accountability partners, mm-hmm. and they're getting way too spiritually intimate, like too
right.
early on, and that can breed kind of an attachment that's kind of sketchy, you know, before marriage and stuff. So, but that's interesting how, and it actually, my next question kind of is like, did you guys have any like stop and start or, you know, cause like, let's take personality into play. Like how, you know, cause everyone, the person that's the extrovert or that loves people and love, they're going to expect, you know, okay, I really want this person to just, you know, have mercy and love people and have people into our home all the time. And I want this to be like big potlucks and, you know, Anthony pulling out the guitar and singing worship choruses. And, you know, whereas the other person, I mean, who I always jokingly tell women, well, who's going to marry Joe the plumber who loves Jesus and is doing a men's Bible study and but isn't super verbal or isn't, you know, I mean, kind of that, you know, I've seen people as they date get frustrated because they feel like they're the ones that are always initiating the conversations, or they feel like they're the ones, you know, and, well, isn't this other person going to ask anything about me, or aren't they ever going to say anything that God's doing in their life? What, you know, how did you guys have to maneuver around that at all in your dating relationships? Or
I feel like Austin and I, neither of us are super extroverts. Mm-hmm. I think Austin likes people a little bit more than I do, but
I've really sensed that, Mason.
Yeah.
I need my alone time. But I think understanding where the other person comes from is really big. Just like looking at the person, be like, okay, I know that this is your type of personality, so I'm gonna have to ask a couple of questions, and in return, he'll ask some questions. And mm-hmm. So it's a little different, I think, for us, because neither one of us is super extroverted in that sense. Mm-hmm. But
I think I had the frustration when we were dating, because when we'd be talking about spiritual things, I tend to get off on tangents.
ADD.
Yeah. and so I'd find myself talking for a half hour straight, and then it's like, well, what do you think? And there wasn't much response. Like, yeah, I agree. Like, seriously, that's all you have? Like,
I'm a woman of few words.
Yeah, so we had, I mean, that was kind of tough adjusting to, but I think I eventually learned that I just have to slow down and allow time for her to speak and process. It might take 2 days for her to process mm-hmm. what I'm saying, and then it'll come back to that conversation, and she'll have something to add. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had to learn to be a little more patient and slow my speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, this issue has not honestly been an issue for us at all. There are plenty of issues personality-wise where we are like less compatible, you know, music, for instance, and stuff like that. But in terms of like faith and talking about scriptures and so on, that's mm-hmm. just, that has not been an issue whatsoever, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. One thing I can say kind of along those lines, though, is I think we should make room for different expressions of faith and different kinds of gifts, mm-hmm. and not just assume they all have to be the overt or extroverted ones. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not fair to set up expectations along, you know, the more visible gifts or strengths without recognizing the value of all the others. Mm-hmm. And I think even if someone's quiet or introverted or whatever, they should still be able to, you know, evidence signs of mm-hmm. of active faith and engagement with God. And I think no matter how introverted you are, you should still be able to, you know, like talk with someone about your faith or pray mm-hmm. together and things like that.
Give a reason for the hope that's in you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like across the board. So
that kind of brings me just to my last question I'd like you guys to weigh in on. How then in marriage do you keep, you and your spouses keep one another accountable without doing a big heavy hammer of, I didn't see you reading your Bible today. What's up with that? You know, I mean, how do you make sure that you're spurring one another on, growing together, you know, even in the dry times or the discouraging times? You know, we all go through seasons, but how do you, because I mean, especially, you know, men, hello, biblically responsible for your wife and your family. So pressure. Please weigh in.
I was going to say, I think, as Austin was saying earlier, how his family, not that my family didn't go to church, we did, and we went every Sunday, but I think that was a big place for him. It is a big place for him to learn scripture. I'm not a very good oral learner, and so sitting at church, I don't feel like I learn quite as much as when I'm sitting reading my Bible, and so Austin, though, is kind of the opposite way, and so he encourages me a lot more to go to church of like, yeah, let's go, let's learn, let's pay attention, which mm-hmm. sometimes I really have to focus. So that's one way that I feel like he really helps to lead us and encourage us to learn. Mm-hmm. Even ways of meditation. Like, I know he says a lot, like, I need to hop on my bike and go for a bike ride so I can, mm-hmm. like, praise God through that. And
yeah, and I think we go through different seasons, too, where
I am rarely praising God while running or riding a bike or doing anything active. I'm basically looking at my watch.
It helped,
but
yeah.
Go ahead, Austin.
I need to, like,
own.
burn energy to be able to think clearly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's really helpful for me. But I think we both go through different seasons too, where sometimes I'll be a little more like, yeah, let's go to Bible study. I really want to learn. I like this. Maybe we're doing a certain study that I'm really interested in. Macy may not be interested in, and that's kind of where I'll encourage her. And then in a couple weeks, it might flip the other way, and she'll be encouraging me to go. Mm-hmm. I think just maintaining just the relationship with God on a personal level, and not just making it all about as a couple, then it kind of helps one another when just to maintain that yourself can be an encouragement to the other person, or it'll definitely drive the relationship you have together as a couple as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the best things for us has been setting up a weekly meeting where we talk about our marriage, parenting, life in general. And so it helps to just have regular check-ins where we're, asking these questions and praying together and whatnot. On top of that, I would say that paying attention helps a lot, because like, not all spiritual accountability is like you should be reading your Bible more, or you should be doing more things. It's like, hey, I see that you're having a funky week. Let's talk about it. How can I pray for you and stuff like that? So it's easy for someone like me to kind of, one, notice, but choose not to engage because I'm tired, or want to watch a movie instead or whatever. But to, like, take the time to not only notice that she's struggling, but ask her about it, and then also be willing to open up when she does the same thing for me. Mm-hmm. So I'd say paying attention and sort of scheduling out those regular times of asking each other important questions is awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, you guys, so much for sharing. I think it's great to see where God has brought you this side of marriage. I think that's an encouragement to those who are not there yet, and to know, how to keep your eyes open, how to, make sure that you're prioritizing God in your own life, because that other person, ideally, I always say, the person that doesn't even care about where you are and isn't asking questions, you don't want to marry that person, So keep your eyes open. It's a two-way street for, what are their priorities? What does that look like? And like Anthony said, not what are they doing, or how many Bible studies are they in, but are they expressing naturally and joyfully what God is doing in their life, what he has accomplished, what they hope that he will still accomplish? I think that's all good stuff, and keeping the gospel at the center. So thanks, you guys, for being part of the conversation.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.